Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, June the 26th of 2019. Mind you, this is the final show of June. When I come back, it's going to be July, believe it or not, which means basically 1 month of the summer will have come and went. But so glad you could join us tonight, wherever you may be, however you may be listening to this radio program tonight. And I want to encourage you, listeners, to please tell someone you know how they can be a part of this great radio program. What they can do, what you can have them do is there's a number where they can call into the show live. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts and then go ahead and press 1. And after you press 1, you'll be taken through the call screener, and then my assistant will answer the phone, and she will let me know that we have a caller, and then I am going to approve it, and then we'll let you on the air. And generally, we can talk about anything you want to talk about. Do you want to ask me about God? Do you want to ask me about sports? Maybe you want to ask me about, you know, some of my, maybe like one of your favorite trips you've taken somewhere. For all it is summer travel season. Speaking of which, I'm leaving my house tomorrow night, but I'm leaving Michigan in about a day and a half. And won't be back until next Saturday. More on that in a minute. Basically, whatever you want to talk about, as long as it's not political, you can feel free to talk to me about generally what I... Now, if it is political, what's going to happen is I'm not going to be rude about it and hang it up on you. I am going to tell you, though, however, to pray for those who have authority over you, as the Bible says. And then also, what I'm going to tell you, you know, we have the elections coming next year. I'm going to tell you, I would tell you that you should vote next time. Because if you're not voting, you don't have the, you're not, doesn't, when you're not voting, that doesn't make it right for you to be able to complain. And hopefully we can get some great callers. I have a guest with me that I'm going to ask a few questions, and I'll let her answer them. Her name is Brooke, and she's one of my helpers. So, Brooke, tell everybody where you're from.
I am from Moab, Utah.
Moab, Utah, all right. Where is Moab at in Utah?
It is about an hour from Colorado.
Wow. Is it near Salt Lake City by chance?
It is.
About maybe an hour or so?
Maybe less.
Like half hour or something?
Yeah, I'd say maybe 45 minutes.
Okay. Well, So do you ever miss Utah?
I think that it's more of a curiosity thing. I sometimes just wish that I knew what my life would be like if I was still there.
Oh, that's a good way to think of it. That's a good way to think of it.
But I like being here. I like knowing that I'm with close to family and I have a lot of friends and I get to hang out with you all the time.
As a lifer, to here in Michigan, it's obviously being a lifer, it's a little bit different.
It is. Yeah.
By the way, someone say, what's a lifer? That's someone like who's lived somewhere or has like been a part of something their whole life. That's what a lifer is. Yeah. I'm one of those. So what's your favorite like place that you've ever traveled to?
Mexico.
Okay, where at in Mexico?
I went to Cancun. And I'm going again in October.
So were you there for like a week, 10 days?
Yep. Like, I think I was there for 8 days.
And then fly there, fly back.
Correct. We did have to stop in Georgia for a connecting flight. Your favorite place, Atlanta, right?
That's a question I'm going to answer in a minute. mind you, that doesn't mean no. It's just I'll get to that in a minute, you know?
Right. Understood.
Yes, it is. Understood. For those of us who have never been to another country before besides Canada, is Cancun a lot like a lot like the rest of America, a lot like America? I've heard some people say that it is, but I've also heard different. Is it a lot like here?
Well, we weren't allowed to leave the resort because it is considered dangerous. So we stayed at the resort. There was a lot of Americans there, so it wasn't like I was out of the ordinary. But when we were on the shuttle to get to the resort, there was a lot of people walking down the street. They didn't have shoes. A lot of people looked very poor, I would say. I think here in America, we're provided with a lot of opportunities that they don't get there.
Very true. And doesn't it seem kind of strange? You know, you go on vacation, but you can't leave your hotel's property.
It's a safety issue.
So it'd be like if they did that here.
Right. But I don't think we need to here.
Who told you guys that you couldn't leave?
Well, we weren't legally we could leave, but we just preferred not to, just because everyone says, you know, don't leave your resort, it's scary. So we just decided not to, but we could have left if we'd like to.
Because that seems kind of different, you know, when you're on a vacation. You can't see a city, you can't go to the mall, you can't go to the other restaurants that are downtown, you can't.
Right. But we did have a lot of, I think there was like 10 different restaurants. So we got a taste of Mexican food. We got to see how they think Americans eat. There was an American-style restaurant. There was a Chinese food place, Mediterranean. There was a bunch of stuff.
But on the bright side, at least you didn't have to hail for a taxi every 20 minutes.
Right. And driving in Mexico is scary. It's like they don't have any traffic laws.
So are you trying to tell me that, like, they cut off in front of everybody all the time?
Yep, and there's always bikers in the lanes, and they'll pull out right in front of you. On the shuttle on our way to the resort, our driver almost hit a bicyclist.
Wow.
I know. We were all, like, holding onto the windows. We were scared.
Had any of you guys been there before that?
No, we were all first timers.
How many of you guys lived there?
there was me, my sister, her fiance, and his mom and dad and brother.
Wow.
Yes.
How old was the young ones?
The youngest one there was 17.
Wow.
In our group, anyways.
Was that just last year?
2017. But my favorite place that I've ever been in America would be Colorado, I think is my favorite.
Okay. And what's the reason for that?
The view. Strictly the view. Waking up every morning and getting to see the mountains and the sunset over the mountains was amazing. Breathtaking.
Are you talking like in the country or in Golden, Colorado, Denver, where?
We stayed in Golden, Colorado on our way to Utah. So we only stayed there for like 2 days, but it was beautiful.
Because I've heard a lot of good things about that area of Colorado. I've heard a lot of great things about it.
Yes, everyone was so nice. And when I lived in Utah, we had to travel all the way to Grand Junction, Colorado in order to get groceries or go to the mall. Yeah. It's only like an hour, but still, that's a long haul for some groceries. What if I wanted to buy some ice cream? It would be melted by the time I got home. Right. I mean, they have small grocery stores, but it's nothing like a Walmart. The closest Walmart is in Grand Junction.
Wow.
Yes.
As for me, however, I'm a lot more of a city guy. A lot more, mind
yeah.
you. I even think this town is a bit small because I like bigger areas like here in Michigan, Flint, Detroit. What? Well, some people might say, well, there's Lansing, Grand Rapids. Not the same at all.
How come it's not the same? What makes Flint and Detroit different?
One thing, kind of this side of the state, I mean, there's been an idea, like I've been on I-75 so much, and I was going to, particularly like when I went to Chattanooga, I didn't realize that it was right there near 75 until like 2001, but since I've had 17 surgeries down there when I was like 5 years old, 4 and 5 years old,
a lot of surgery.
And then, like, kind of, I've just always really liked, like, Flint area a lot. So people might say, you know, the poverty rate's higher. You know all this. The crime rate's higher. Well, to me, guess what?
What?
Though it's sad that it's the case that all that stuff is higher there, it is not enough to keep me away. There are certain characteristics about those areas that, to me, like Flint and Detroit area, that really draw me in.
I get it.
Part of it is like restaurant food availability. And some people may say, well, why didn't you include Ann Arbor? There are certain fast food and other type places, which Ann Arbor is lacking, that areas like Flint and Detroit have. Besides that, Ann Arbor is like one of the most expensive places in all of Michigan. Have you heard that before?
I have heard that. I haven't been to Ann Arbor very much.
So I was just there right myself, and so much of town right now is under construction.
Yeah, it's construction season in Michigan.
Especially in Ann Arbor and some other places.
Yeah.
And as for what my favorite cities in America are that I've been to, I would say Chattanooga, Atlanta, Dallas, Houston, Nashville, in no particular order.
all the big places.
Yep, and if you notice something about every one of these, what do you notice about all every one of those? Chattown, Nashville, Atlanta, Dallas, Houston?
Well, they're all very big cities. Well, I guess I wouldn't know about the ones in Tennessee. I haven't really experienced
Nashville
those.
Is really big. Nashville is a really big one.
What is Chattanooga?
175,000 and it's still going up kind of quick.
Oh, my goodness. A lot more than there are here in Midland.
Oh, yeah. And that they got like 500,000 in the area.
That's crazy.
Well, the other underlying theme among them is they're all southern. Chattanooga and Atlanta, Houston, Dallas, and to a degree, Nashville have a few similar, have somewhat similar appeal to, or as Flint and Detroit do to me, like a more, a little more urban, you know, and like more.
Yeah.
Just different. And some people will say, you know, when some people say something about, I want to go to Hollywood, you know what sometimes I like to say instead?
What?
I want to go to Atlanta. Because, or Dallas, or Nashville,
right.
Or Houston. Or, of course, Chattanooga, but Chattanooga's not as big, but that doesn't mean I dislike it anymore by any means. By the way, Chattanooga might still be a little bit higher on my list than Nashville is because of being right there by the mountains. And one of the benefits of that to me with this time of year is the humidity is a little bit less.
Yeah.
And then in addition to that, I think it's a little more southern, like true southern.
Yeah.
Because Nashville, as it keeps growing, it's not like everybody just having so many kids. A lot of migrants, I imagine, are coming from places that are not southern.
Right. Probably.
You know, and imagine Chattanooga's having the same effects, but a little bit less. I feel like some people from up here who go down there, especially if they take their kids down there with them, if they have little kids and they all move down there, I feel like even though people from up here might move down there, they want to learn the southern thing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because it would be sad, like, if I went to Chattanooga or something and my favorite southern food places that I went to.
What are some of your favorite southern food places?
As far as in America that I've been to, no, the ones I'm going to mention aren't exactly national chains. There are a few, but for this, I'll get to those in a minute, but right now, I would say Champy's Fried Chicken in Chattanooga is one of them. And then there's another really good one in, oh yeah, Wally's Buffet right near 75. And then those are the main two that are, like, really southern that I've been to. And there's some more that I've heard great things about, but I haven't been to them yet.
Not yet, huh? on your bucket list?
Oh, yes. And then in Nashville, the pharmacy, which is supposed to be fairly southern, I went there and it was really good. Now, these are some of the most highly rated ones. The pharmacy in Nashville is. We were going to go to a place called Biscuit Love, but they had a super long wait.
That sounds good. Biscuit Love?
Yes.
I like Biscuit.
There's another place. There's a place I would love to go to this time. It's called Loveless Cafe, which is kind of out in the country near Nashville.
Will you be stopping in Tennessee when you go on vacation this week?
Yes, I am.
Ooh, maybe you can go there this week.
Yep, I might be. Yep, this week. Yep, because I've heard great things about Loveless Cafe. Like that, it's really good. It's really good food. And then in Georgia, there was a couple places that I was at when I went there last year. One, both of these were near our hotel. One of them was called Folks. I forget what the other one's called.
Hmm.
And then there is one that's kind of a just Georgia, Alabama chain. That's mainly in like malls in like Atlanta and Alabama. It's called Farmer's Basket.
Mm-hmm.
They have, and what they have, they're different from like average food court fare. You can get like good fried chicken with mashed potatoes and gravy right there in the food court.
That's awesome.
I love that because we could be in there walking around. Like my parents could be in there to walk or my mom could be in there to get some stuff. And what do you know, I go down to the food court to get me the hookup, a.k.a. some of the best southern fried food you'll ever find. I mean, it is really good, but have I had better? I think it's possible. And then also, there is an emerging presence of various fast food places that are unique to the South. One of which is Cookout, that has really good food for real good prices. And I went there last trip. And then another one I've wanted to go to is one called Bojangles Famous Chicken and Biscuits.
Mm-hmm, that's a good place.
Where was the one out that you went to?
I think I went to Bojangles. I don't remember if I was in, do they have it in Ohio? Maybe Ohio?
No.
I don't remember where I was, but it was good.
Is it better than like KFC?
I really like KFC's mashed potatoes.
But I've heard really good things about, like I was saying, Bojangles. And there's a place I've been to called Zaxby's.
South Carolina, do they have Bojangles?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe that's where I was.
They're headquartered in either South or North Carolina.
Okay.
And, of course, you can't forget the South is where Coca-Cola comes from. ATL, baby.
Your favorite.
Yep. Now Pepsi was birthed in North Carolina, but they moved up to New York. They were a poser. They didn't stay in the place where they were birthed, Atlanta. When you create the stuff and then you move it, that means you're kind of maybe not the same, huh?
Maybe.
To me, that's what it means.
Yeah, I guess that would make sense.
Because even though it might have been started down there, that didn't make it a Southern brand. To me, Coca-Cola is kind of like a symbol of America. To me, it's also a symbol of the South, like at least a food symbol. Because more often than not in the South, I feel like more places have Coke than Pepsi.
Yeah.
it was real fun getting to interview you, I have to say.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. All right. Now, what I wanted to say is this. There is an extreme, basically it looks like, I'm not going to be doing a show Monday night, it looks like, because we'll be with my brother until about 10 o'clock, and then after which we'll be driving up to our next hotel for the night, which is next, which is in Nashville. But then I'll be likely doing one Tuesday or Wednesday. I will make sure to let you know how that's going to play out. So just be on the lookout. I need you to keep in mind what I said before, and which is the fact that where I'm going to be this next week is an hour behind here. So when it's 6:30 here, it's 5:30 down in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, if I was in Chattanooga or Knoxville, anywhere near I-75 or east, really, it would be the same time as here. So, don't be surprised if I do it like at 7:30 Michigan time or something. And then we'll try to keep it short. And then I'm going to tell you about what I've been up to and what have you, and maybe share a couple of verses with you or something, and then give you a real quick sports thing as to what on earth is going down with the Tigers. All right. Now, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to open up the word for a little while. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the show tonight. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for these people who have made the choice to tune into this show. I know they tuned on to the show that it was not an accident. I thank you that you just blessed them for tuning in and that they receive whatever they are believing you for tonight. And I just thank you, Father God, that your hand will be on them. I thank you, Lord God, that you just reveal something to them in Jesus' name. And Lord, I confess over the show right now that sponsors and partners are coming to the show, finances are coming to the show, that listeners are coming to the show, more and more of them, and most importantly, souls are coming into the kingdom via this great radio show. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to 1 Kings chapter 11. Praise God. 1 Kings 11. And we will see what all God has tonight. And I just want to encourage you to do what I do for the next little bit as we study and then I exhort. And I'm in verse 1. King Solomon loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonites, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods." Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David, his father, had been. He followed Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Melech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all of his foreign wives who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their gods. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, "Since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and will give it to one of your subordinates. Nevertheless, for the sake of David your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son, yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but I will give him one tribe for the sake of David my servant and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen." Verse 14, Solomon's adversaries. After the Lord raised up against Solomon an adversary, Hadad, the Edomite from the royal line of Edom, earlier when David was fighting with Edom, Joab, the commander of the army, whom had gone up to burn the dead, had struck down all of the men in Edom. Joab and all the Israelites stayed there for 6 months until they had destroyed all the men in Edom. But Hadad, still only a boy, he fled to Egypt with some Edomite officials who had served his father. They set out from Midian and went to Paran. Then, taking men from Haran with them, they went to Egypt, to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who gave Hadad a house and land and provided him with food. Pharaoh was so pleased with Hadad that he gave him a sister of his own wife, Queen Sapanas, in marriage. The sister of Sapanas bore him a son named Jeroboam, whom Tahith brought up in the royal palace. There, Jeroboam lived with Pharaoh's own children. While he was in Egypt, Hadad heard that David rested with his fathers and that Joab, the commander of the army, was also dead. Then Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Let me go so that I may return to my own country. What have you lacked here that you want to go back to your own country?" Pharaoh asked. "Nothing," Hadad replied. "But still let me go." And God raised up against Solomon another adversary, Ezan, son of Elida, whom had fled from his master, Hadadezer, king of Zobah. He gathered men around him and became the leader of a band of rebels when David destroyed the forces of Zobah. The rebels went to Damascus, where they settled, and they took control. Rezon was Israel's adversary as long as Solomon lived, adding to the trouble caused by Hadad. So Rezon ruled in Aram, and he was hostile toward Israel. Verse 26. Also, Jeroboam, son of Nebat, again rebelled against the king. He was one of Solomon's officials, an Ephraimite from Zerza, and his mother was a widow named Zeruah. This is the account of how he rebelled against the king Solomon. Against the king. Solomon had built the supporting traces and had filled in the gap in the wall of the city of David, his father. Now, Jeroboam was a man of standing, and when Solomon saw how well the young man did his work, he put him in charge of the whole labor force of the house of Joseph. About that time, Jeroboam was going out of Jerusalem, and Ahijah, the prophet of Shiloh, met him on the way. Wearing a new cloak, the two of them were alone in the country. And Ahijah took hold of the new cloak he was wearing, and he tore it into 12 pieces. Then he said to Jeroboam, "Take 10 pieces of for yourself, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. See, I am going to tear the kingdom out of Solomon's hand and give you 10 tribes. But for the sake of my servant David, the city of Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all of the tribes of Israel, he will have one tribe. I will do this because they have taken me and worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sihonites, Ithamesh, the god of the Moabites, and Moloch, the god of the Ammonites. And you have not walked in my ways, nor have you done what is right in my sight, in my eyes, nor have you kept my statutes and laws, as David, Solomon's father, did. But I will not take the whole kingdom of Solomon's out of Solomon's hand. I have made him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of David, my servant, whom I chose and who observed my commands and statutes. I will take the kingdom from his son's hands and will give you 10 tribes. I will give one tribe to his son so that David, my servant, may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city where I chose to put my name. However, as for you, I will take you, and you will rule over all that your heart desires. You will be king over Israel. If you do whatever I command of you, and you walk in my ways, and you do what is right in my eyes, by keeping my statutes and commands, as David my servant did, I will be with you. I will build you a dynasty as enduring as the one you built for David, and will give Israel to you. I will humble David's descendants because of this, but not forever. Solomon tried to kill Jeroboam, but Jeroboam fled to Egypt. Shemach, the king, and stayed there until Solomon's death. As for the other events of Solomon's reign, all he did, and the wisdom he displayed, are they not written in the book of the annals of Solomon? Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. Then he rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, succeeded him as king. Okay. Now, what you see here is at first, when he was first reigning in Israel, Solomon was doing very good. And he was doing everything the Lord had commanded of him. He was being very precise about it. And he was, God was very pleased with him. He built the house of God and did it exactly as the Lord told him. However, something happened. Solomon started running with the wrong people. He married a bunch of women from other countries, which God said not, for them not to marry. As Solomon was getting older, this led to Solomon not having the same heart towards God as he had. Instead of having the heart he had towards God, he chose to serve all of those Ashtaroths and all those other statues from the false gods. Are not the real true living God. Instead, he chose to just he decided it happened to him, I think, he decided that these women were more important to him than God. And yeah, we read this last night, not this chapter, but we read the previous chapter last night, where God told Solomon, do not depart from me. If you depart from me, some things are going to happen to this kingdom. You're going to walk by my house. People are going to walk by my house, and they're going to be appalled at what they see. So, Solomon gets told by the Lord, now because of what you did, I'm going to take away most of the tribe of Israel from you. You will have one tribe. And your son after you will also have one tribe. All the rest of them, I'm giving to someone else. I'll give them to one of your subordinates. Someone who's more apt to follow me. And then God sent up adversaries against Solomon. Including Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. And later on, it goes through all those different kings. Were they evil in the eyes of God? Were they right in the eyes of God? You know, how was it? What'd they do? What'd they do in the kingdom? And you'll see the one of those people who ended up being a king in Israel. You're not going to believe this. In the Bible, there was a seven-year-old who was a king. A seven-year-old little kid. Isn't that crazy? A seven-year-old kid being a king. A seven-year-old. normally you won't see that. But there, the 7-year-old. I don't know about you, but to me, that's pretty crazy. Solomon ruled in Israel for 40 years. He started off so great. Didn't turn off so well at the end, though. So, let me ask you, what is your distraction? What is distracting you in your walk with God? What is it? Is it a person? Is it a thing? Is it your work schedule that makes it so that you can't, so that you miss a whole bunch of church all the time? I know I should read my Bible and pray, but I don't do it. I'm just always distracted. What is it? What's keeping you from God? What's keeping you from following His direction? And by the way, Solomon did more than just not follow God anymore. He started worshiping those other gods. In other words, we'll say you were going to a really great spirit-filled water-baptized church, or a fire-baptized church, where the true word of God is preached. The pastor speaks in tongues, and the congregation speaks in tongues, and miracles are happening all the time. Suddenly, for whatever reason, you decide to leave the church. And then you decide to go over to this church where instead of preaching the word of God, they might give you 3 little points in a poem, if they even give you that. They'll give you a light show, maybe pyrotechnics, and whatever message they'll give you won't be a message of true power, the true power of God. I went to one of those in another state. Oh, yeah. It was called, they were a seeker-sensitive church. And I didn't say spirit-sensitive. I said they were seeker-sensitive. Oh, they had a free Coca-Cola fountain in the lobby. They had a play place just like the mall's play places that you started seeing popping up across America in the previous few years prior to that. They sang a couple songs. When they were playing songs before the service from the speaker system, they weren't songs about God. One of them was Get Your Kicks on Route 66. Um, they did a song at the start of the service. It was like, you are the air that I'm breathing. You're the song I'm singing. No mention of God. They were talking a lot of humor. They talked about power, but they didn't mention, like, the name of Jesus. Nothing about healing. Nothing about deliverance. Nothing like that. What?
You want to go for another 30 minutes? You only have 5 minutes. I just don't know what you're
doing. Is there a way to do like 15? There's always a way to do like 15. While we're doing that, while we're figuring that out, though, listeners, I'm just saying right now.
Let me know when you're done and I can end it, okay?
Okay. I'm just saying right now, though, listeners, is when I was in that service, I did not hear one time where they said freedom, healing, deliverance. No. Totally user friendly. I don't know about you. The God I serve isn't the God of convenience. Oh yeah, we got to that church. Church started at like 10:30. I want to say we were done by about 11:30. One hour in and out. And apparently they're like that every service. And I don't just mean like when Dr. Buckley's not gone. I mean like when Dr. Buckley's gone and it's a 1 hour in and out. And if he's there and he preaches an hour, we get the real word of God and prayer and all that. But you're serving a God of convenience. You can't be serving a God of convenience. And by the way, those seeker-sensitive churches, you don't hear too many miracles taking place in there. Now about faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Now, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what we have not yet seen. The evidence of things not seen. What are you believing for from God? I think it's just good for us to take a look at that and just see. You see, I'm evidence. I'm sitting here. I'm a walking miracle. Everything God's done for me, all those surgeries He brought me through. Death tried to take me 4 times and I'm still alive. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I just thank you that we would get this word in our hearts and that we would just follow you. That with all we have tonight, in the name of Jesus. Now for sports real quick. the Tigers lost last night to the Texas Rangers by a score of 5-1. Jordan Zimmermann is now 0-6, by the way. Meaning he has not gotten a win yet, which is not good. They're on a 5-game losing streak. They'll try to get a win tonight. The game started at 7:10. Mm-hmm. You can listen to it on 790 AM or 97.7 FM. Now, Michigan baseball, they did not win last night. They lost to Vanderbilt 4-1. They will try again tonight in the decisive game 3. I think Michigan will get this tonight and the Big Ten will have a winner of college baseball for the first time since 1967 when some other state to the south won it. And so Michigan baseball is without their leadoff hitter, their leadoff batter. He got hurt last night, so he's out of the lineup. And that's all I got for sports. So, until next week, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I'll talk to you next week. Good night, everybody.